Okay, so we're starting. I want to discuss the Nechash and Nechoshes. I know it's a parsha and it's from the summer, so it's two things out of place here. But I was going, you know.
When else are you going to do it?
Yeah, that's right. That's the problem. When else are you going to do it? So I'm not. I don't want to start with the Nechash and with Nechash and Nechoshes. I want to really try to explain it in the context of the development of Bnei Yisrael. Because really, I think when you look through this parsha of Chukas, I think in Chukas you really see that Klal Yisrael finally have emerged as a fully developed nation that's really roy to go into Eretz Yisrael and conquer the land. I mean, you see it, that's how the parsha ends, basically, that they defeat Sichon and Og, right? And they're really a changed people. They're no longer afraid of battle. They're very good at it right now, right? Successful. And not only that, when you look in the next parsha of Balak, so Balak, you saw that Balak was very afraid of them, right? And you saw them camping on his doorstep over there. So Sichon and Og had fallen, and he was very worried about them. And not just, and it's not just militarily they were strong, but if you look at the brachos, you know, the statements of Bilam, so they describe the nation, you know, in tremendously glowing terms, and those are true, those statements, right? Those are like they were placed in his mouth from Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you really see the Klal Yisrael has really emerged over here and transformed from a rebellious nation and a cowardly nation to a praiseworthy brave nation. So I'd like to try to go. That's really my point. Try to cover that ground. I mean, really, it's the culmination of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim, that was the objective, really. That they should leave Mitzrayim, and in a short time, be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. That initial plan didn't work out. But eventually, there was a secondary method, and that was culminated over here. And the Torah doesn't really go through, you know, in point by point, like what exactly what happened. As a matter of fact, 40 years zips by, yep. Right? I mean, the Ibn Ezra says not one mention of that period of time. And I mean, the Parshios before, you know, is before the 40 years, because that's a Shlach and Korach. I mean, that's, you know, Korach is right after Shlach, it would seem. And then where did the 40 years end?
Rashi says in the, right after the Paradum of Parakachav Pasagal.
By Miriam.
By Thomas Miriam.
Right. So Rashi says there's only a small allusion. Right, because it says Vayavo Bnei Yisrael Kol Ha'eda, the entire Eda. And Rashi says, what does it mean Kol Ha'eda? It means. Where is that? Is there a Rashi there?
Yeah. Kol Ha'eda.
Kol Ha'eda. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Right. Eda Hashlema Shekvar Mesu Mesei Midbar. The Elu Parshu L'chayim. So that's the end of the Mesei Midbar are gone. That's funny. Rashi says the same thing a little bit later too. So So my question is, how did this development take place? Okay? How is it really supposed to happen? Why did it fail? And how was it fixed? All right. And where can we see that? Can we see it in the Pesukim? Okay, so in order to... So really, basically, the topic is the transformation of a slave nation, right, into a nation of an independent people that's capable doing battle and establishing themselves. So really, it's a question of how do you go from the depths of slavery and dependency to becoming basically the opposite, totally free and independent nation. And how is it supposed to occur so quickly? And when that failed, what happened? You can't just say 40 years. 40 years, the time doesn't really change things, essentially. And you can have the same people. You have people today who still are in the same position they've been in for hundreds of years. You don't just say, well, you know, the one generation dies, next generation comes, and then it's all new. It doesn't work that way. One generation just propagates the next generation. So it's not enough just to say that that door passed and a new door arose. Yeah, Aaron? I mean, take a look. If you look at the contrast, for instance, right? Well, what's the contrast from what they were to what they are? So what does it say when they came out of Mitzrayim? So the Rambam quotes this pasuk in the Mora as an ikar in the Derech Hashem, right? It says Vayi b'shalach paro esa'om v'lo nochom Elokim Derech Eretz Plishtim ki karavu ki omar Elokim pen yinochim ha'om b'rosam milchomo v'shovu Mitzrayim. So what does it mean? What does it mean? On the face of it, it sounds funny, right? And it was when Paro sent out the nation. God didn't lead them down the way of the Eretz Plishtim. Ki karavu, because it was close. I mean, that's why he shouldn't lead them down that way. In other words, it means even though it was close, right? So in other words, the natural way would be to go Derech Eretz Plishtim. That would be the straight way. Ki omar Elokim, so why not go the straight way? Pen yinochim ha'om bir'osa milchoma v'shovu Mitzrayim. Right? So they were very delicate. Their mindset was very fragile. And that's what the Rambam says. That you see over here, why did God lead them around? Not because that was the best way to go, but because it was to avoid a harm. So many times you see, sometimes people look for a reason for the thing. The Rambam says sometimes the reason is to avoid something. You know, it's not that the round way was the right way. Mm-hmm. But there was a harm to be avoided, right? But the point over here, the point is that they were so fragile, they were in such a fragile mindset that God said, if I take them out straight, they'll see milchama and they'll just turn tail and run, right? And in Chukas, they're basically battling. They battle Sichon and Og, the two greatest. Og was a big guy. The two biggest, strongest military forces. So they definitely is a different mindset, right? Okay, so we have to go. So what is the mindset of the slave? Is what we really have to start with, right? The mindset of the slave and really the biggest deficiency of the slave, and then we have to, and then we can understand how you can change that. Okay, so what do you say? What's the worst? What's the biggest problem of the slave in terms of his mindset? All right, so everybody here has been in the yeshiva a long time, and he's thinking slave mentality is coming to mind. but beyond the phrase, what is really the problem of the slave mentality? What's the biggest impediment to being an independent gavra that the slave has? And in other words, to be independent, the most primary element of independence is a sense of self. Independence is you can take care of yourself, but if you don't think about yourself, you don't value yourself as a as a, you know, an individual, you don't even have a place to get started. It has to be independence is working for the self. But a slave doesn't even have a sense of self. Doesn't have a fully developed sense of self. Why? He doesn't have his own money, right? Masha kana eved kana rabo. And he doesn't even have the volition over his own guf. He doesn't get to decide what to do with his body. So after a life of that, you don't have the framework. You don't have the mindset. Your mindset, your outlook is not focused on the self. It's you're a piece, you're a cog in the wheel of the master's system. And you can't really, you don't have the basis of independence. You don't have the basis of independence. You have to really develop a certain sense of self, self-worth, to be able to break the dependence. Okay. So what, and if you look at the psukim also, when in Shemos, so when it's first describing the Bnei Yisrael and their state, so it says like this. It says like this. The oppression and their reaction to it. Yeah. It says, "Vayehi bayomim harab ma'ayim, vayomus melech Mitzrayim, vayeonchu v'nei Yisrael min avoda, vayezoku." So, "Vatal shavosam el Elokim min avoda." So, it's interesting. It's describing just a very very primary reaction. It wasn't like a formulated expression of tefillah. It was really just from the oppression, just from the burden. They groaned. It was a groan. They weren't really even on the level of formulating and being mispalel. It wasn't a real tefillah here. It's just like a reaction to the burden that they were under. They had a little break and they were able to express it. But he says, because the Yishmaelikim is not kosum. It's not nakosum is not really a tefillah. And it's just Vayizkelikim as briso as Avram as Yaakov. What was the Torah's formula? What was the Torah's formula to remove them from this state? Okay? All right. What do you say? So we know from the four kosos, right? That there are four lishonos of geula. And when we say four lishonos of geula, and we have a kos representing each one, it doesn't mean that it's just four of the same thing, because then you wouldn't have four kosos, right? It would just be it's just four expressions of the same thing. Is just one thing really? So what are really? We mean the Torah gives us that formula. So let's take a quick look at that formula. What are the four lishonos? Right? Now we've done this before. I'm sure we've done this before. But let's take another look. Okay, so what do you have? So what are the four steps? So you have the first one is what? Is taking them out of the physical labor. Right, that's the first step. First step is removing them from the physical labor. Because when they have the physical labor, there's nothing, they don't have the ability to do anything, right? Yeah, it's Vehotzeisi Yeschem mitach Sivlos Mitzrayim, Vehitzalti Yeschem me'avod asom, Vegoalti Yeschem bezro netuyo v'shvatim gedolim, Velokachti Yeschem lilam, Vayisi lochem le'elokim. So Rashi says, what's the first step? First step is Hotzeisi Yeschem mitach Sivlos Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Um, Sivlos means Torah Masa Mitzrayim. It means the most basic element of the slavery that prevents you from being an independent person is the fact, like we said before, that you don't have the ability to do what you want to do. You're busy working all day long. That's Sivlos Mitzrayim. Right? So I'm going to remove them from the physical burden. And then what? And then Hitzalti Eschem Me'avodah Som. Rashi doesn't have much over here. But the Ramban explains. Hitzalti Eschem Me'avodah Som means it's possible to take a people and free them from work. It's possible to take a slave, a group of slaves, and say, okay, now you don't have to work for your masters. Okay? But that doesn't mean that you have political independence. That's personal freedom. But you could still have to be, you know, pay tribute to the to Melech Mitzrayim. So it could be you'll become free, but you'll still be under the political control of Mitzrayim. So that's the second step. First one is a personal freedom, to be able to decide what you want to do when you wake up in the morning. The second one is that's Sivlos Mitzrayim. Then Me'avodah Som means the Shibud Mitzrayim, not the physical labor. Not the physical avoda, but the dominion of Mitzrayim. So they'll be able to be they'll be removed as a nation that's politically free, self determination.
They're not their masters anymore.
They're not their masters anymore. And then, but what's Go'alti Yeschem Bezro and the Tuyu of Bishvatim Gedolim? That's interesting. So what's after that? What's the Vigo'alti? Right. Yes, so what's Go'alti? Go'alti is an interesting expression, right? Go'ula, redemption. So what's Go'alti? What's lacking? They'll be free from work. They'll be free to organize and rule themselves. So what's Go'alti Eschem Bezro and the Tuyu of Vishvatim Gedolim? So I think Ramban also has an explanation of this. But I think it means like this, that There's more, you have to remember we're starting at zero basically. We're starting with a slave nation, with a lack of self-worth, lack of an identity. So it's very possible to take a group of people, free them from physical labor, let them leave the country, not be under the rule of another country, but you'll still have basically what? You'll have a slave nation that's basically not under anybody's rule anymore. In other words, you're lacking what? What are you lacking? You're lacking a certain dignity. There's a certain dignity that has to come about through the Yetziyah. You could have a group of people. Let's say somebody would come to a group of slaves and break them loose. Say, go, you're out of here. You don't have to worry about your master anymore. Right, they would basically be like a runaway slave nation. You know what I mean? They would physically not be under the rule of the king, but they would be a runaway nation. They would always have a certain association. Even for themselves, they would not have the dignity of a people who leave by right. And there has to be a certain turning of the tables psychologically where the slave doesn't feel like he's sneaking away and just evading capture, but he's leaving like a mensch. That's a geula. That's a redemption. You really are redeemed. Zetach hazeh. You really... The B'nai Yisrael left with an aura about them. The second part is just the factually they'll have political freedom, but I can take a group of slaves and transport them to someplace else. They won't be under the rule of that guy anymore. They won't have he won't have any control over them anymore. But for themselves and vis-a-vis the world, which and how the world looks at you, you know, realistically, it has a lot to do with how you look at yourself. They would be lacking in a certain dignity of a nation, And where do you see that they had dignity? Where do you see that when they left there, they left with dignity? It's because there was a mitzvah. The mitzvah when they left was they should borrow from the master. Who borrows? Only, I think the Rav mentioned, the slave doesn't borrow from her master. The master doesn't lend things to the slave. They had to go in a way that gave them a certain, elevated their stature. And to ask the master to borrow something, can I borrow your fine goods? Can I borrow your jewelry? And they would lend it. That's becoming already on the level of an equal. And I'm not running away. I'm not. If your slave was running away, you wouldn't lend them your stuff, right? They walked out and they left with a certain sense of right.
You say that also,
right, and I think that's also bezror natuya b'shvatim gedolim, because we say, what does that mean really? It means that their idols were destroyed. Meaning to say, people have a certain security in their the mitzvah had a certain security in their idols, and Bnei Yisrael represented a whole different way of life. And for the mitzvah, and from when the Jews left, the mitzvah had to acknowledge that the Jews were right. That was expressed in their idols being destroyed. And their idols are rotting, right? That they left with, it was clear that everything was reversed. It was clear that although we had dominion over you for however many years, it's clear that you're really in the right, because it's expressed in our whole value system being physically being destroyed as you're leaving the idols are being destroyed. And so that we understand. That we understand secularly. I mean, in a secular sense, I can understand that. You have the people have to be physically free, politically free, and have a certain dignity, a certain self-worth. But what's the last step? Or the second to last step, depending on, right? The last step is lokachti eschem lilom. So that we know is what? What is that? That's Torah, right? That's Torah. So the question is, what is the extra element of Torah? What's the element of Torah that's, what is it adding to this equation? Yeah. Now, in order to gain the dignity, the slave has to recognize that he has something truly superior to the master. You have to recognize that there has to be some expression of an idea that I was a slave by circumstance, not a slave by nature. You understand? There has to be a certain expression of superiority. It's not enough. Once people were slaves, pushed down to the lowest level of society, to just free them, it's not like a submerged balloon. You let go, it's going to pop up to the top. It's not that way. Once they're down that low, you can release the pressure. They're not going to pop back up.
That's where Torah comes in. Brings it up.
I'm not up to Torah yet.
Jumping ahead.
I'm saying, just psychologically speaking, that's the idea of Geula. That they left proud. How? They left with a reversal of fortune. You, the masters, who dictated every moment of our lives and controlled every action that we did. Now you're asking us, now you're lending us stuff and you're asking us to leave. You know what I mean? And your idols are being, at the same time, our God is expressing his might, your idols are melting. Now who's on top? Now who's on top? When the slaves are freed, normally it doesn't include a lowering of the masters, simultaneous, a reversal of the fortune. Without the reversal of the fortune, you don't have the elevation of the oppressed. It has to be, and there's a reason why it has to be that way. Because unless the master is reduced, The main problem over here is that the people feel that a slave is a slave by nature. Right? Like Aristotle had an idea like that. Certain types of people. They are nobles and slaves. Right? As opposed to saying, we're just slaves because we were in a circumstance. Doesn't have to do with our self-worth. How does that and you were guys were the kings and the rulers, not because you're better than us. Just happened to be that you were in that, you had that advantage. That whole mentality that the slave is truly inferior has to be undone. The only way it can be undone is by a reversal. That's psychologically can raise him up to a level of dignity. And he feels, I'm not, because if you leave the slavery still believing you're an inferior person, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything. Right, so of course there's still another problem after the gula, because there's a fourth step. There's a fourth step, and the point is, without the fourth step, the other three steps have no completion. So, but we have to understand the fourth step, and not just the first step is necessary because look, we're working towards a free people, a free nation, right? So the first step is the basic building block of a nation is people. Who can do what they want to do. You can't have a nation without people who can do what they want to do. But if you have people who can do physically what they want to do, unless they have the political freedom, they can't form a nation. So you need those two steps. You need hotzeisi mitachas sivlos mitzrayim and hitzalti me'avodasam. You don't have the goof of a nation unless you have free people with the right to associate. Freedom of assembly and the freedom to make laws for themselves and disregard another ruler. I mean, it's like someone mentioned, like Bnei Yisrael when they were under the Roman Empire, Roman rule. They weren't free. They had a master over them.
Did you say that step?
And the reason why I said it has to be a reversal is because I think there's two things that has to be undone. They have to undo the sense that they are intrinsically inferior and that the other ones are intrinsically superior. I think both of those have to be expressed to really drive it home. I'm just talking about for the average person.
And then you're supposed to come down eventually and realize that you're just equal?
Then you realize that it was circumstance, not based on nature.
And then you're just equal.
Well, you still feel a little better than that. That's a good question. The question is, are these four steps for any nation or only for Klal Yisrael? I say it's for any nation, really. I think it's for any nation. So let's see. So what is really lokachti? Okay. What is lokachti? So it's interesting. What do you have? You have what we say in the Haggadah. I mean, everything over here is from the Haggadah, basically, in this area. So what do we say is from the Pasuk? That the Klal Yisrael are described at that point as a young girl, right? Fully formed, but not yet mature. Missing something. Missing the clothing. So what is it? What is it? What is it about? What is lakachti that completes this step? So lakachti is mitzvos. I understand that. But what's interesting is, what do we say? What is mitzvos? What are mitzvos? It's really it's a avodas Hashem, avdus. It's another form of avdus. So how is this form of avdus a liberating avdus? It's interesting. The avdus of Mitzrayim was a debilitating, demeaning avdus. But in Eved Hashem, that's really what Lakachti is all about. The avdus of being an Eved Hashem is really gives a person independence. That's what I want to talk about a little bit now. The independence that comes from Torah. Okay, what we're trying to say now is that, because that's what we're saying, the essence of the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim was, that it was to transform a feeble, dependent nation into a nation that is strong and independent, into it from a nation that had no idea of self, of the self, and no self-worth, to a nation of the highest ideal of self and self-worth. And it's not just because they feel that they're with. It's more than just. It has to be an idea in the self. It has to be an idea in the self. It's not just switching masters. It's not just switching masters. Okay. So what really gives a person the greatest self, the greatest sense of self, the greatest confidence in himself? What is it that really gives a person the greatest idea, the greatest self-worth and confidence? Yeah?
Don't you need security first?
In other words, it's not just the sense of security that somebody's taking care of you, because that's part of dependency again. You know what I mean? That's why they weren't... Yeah, you have to understand. Even though God did all the miracles and took them out, still, Nochem Lachim Derech Eretz Plishtim. Why? Why would they? Because they were still in a mindset that they couldn't just rely on the security of God. They were not able to do that. Yeah, they need something else first. Yeah. Where empowerment? Where does man get his greatest empowerment from? I think it's from the mind. I think the greatest sense of self and security and worth and independence stems from independence of thought. And the ability to trust your mind, because your mind is that's you, and that's really what Torah gives a person. What's the lokachti, the velokachti? We have an interesting idea in Torah of avodas Hashem. It's not what we do for God over here. The whole Torah is really for man. Lo dover reik hu mikem. It's not something that's empty for you. It's, we always say that the whole purpose of Torah is to really elevate man. But how does it elevate man? I think it really elevates man by giving him power of knowledge, power of seeing the truth. That's the only way that a person can really feel. To really feel independent. And that's what the Torah demands of us. That's what the training in halacha, that's one of the key things of our system of Torah. That we don't just do things blindly. On the contrary, every step of every minute of the day, halacha demands you, as a person, analyze the situation, think it through with your knowledge, and come to a conclusion. The Torah is a system that encourages. It encourages questions. That's our whole culture. It encourages questions and thinking. When a child comes home from school and asks a good question, that's the greatest joy you have. Not other nations would say they put down that type of thing. Other religion, Christianity is to say, no, we don't want questions. We just want obedience. We just want you to fall in line. That's not what Lokachti is. Lokachti is that was the plan. Plan was, what is it after their personal freedom, political freedom, and psychological dignity, what was it that really had to clothe them and make them fully independent and capable of acts of bravery? Knowledge. Training them through the mitzvos in a system of developing respect for their mind, respect for your own ideas, respect for the chachma that God has implanted in you. And that's really the source of all courage. I mean, the greatest courage is a person who has a conviction. The conviction of the mind gives a person courage, because he knows that it's real, he knows that it's true, and he can move on it, and he can act on it. And that's really what's intelligent. Chachma is the great equalizer in halacha, in Torah. And you see it in the parsha too, because it says, in Balak, I think it has a... What do you see from the empowerment of the mind that halacha affords a person? I mean, we had Benos Slavchad, right? Five orphan girls who had an idea, and they came to Moshe and Aaron and the whole group, and they challenged them. They said, look, here's what we think. This is what we think should be. And Moshe said, okay, I don't know, let me ask Hashem. Came Benos Slavchad. That shows you that what's the Torah. The Torah is just about the truth. And you, every individual, with your mind, you have the ability to tap into what we consider to be the ultimate thing. That's a tremendously liberating, empowering philosophy. And that really was the idea. That was really the method. That really was the method. That's what I'm saying. It's not just any people is going to have to go through some sort of a process like that. True. And the question is, what about other nations that did do things in the name of stupidity?
They had a conviction in their stupidity.
See, I'm not saying that. That's a different situation because they are people who are in power already. They have a certain amount of they are the ruling class, and they use their religion as a way to differentiate their enemy and demean the enemy and give them the ability to express a power and aggression that they already had. We're talking about taking a nation that has nothing, that has no self-worth, and in a short time, in a matter of months, turning them into a whole different type of people.
Those nations didn't last anyway, so it's proof.
Right. I'm focusing on the transformation. I'm saying, how do you transform? You're saying there are powerful nations. I'm not saying that people can't develop into a powerful nation. You can have a ruler who's powerful and conquers other countries and, you know, trains a whole nation of warriors and Spartans and things like that. And then they can use some type of a rallying thing to encourage them to go further. But what I'm talking about is, how do you transform a weakling, cowardly people into, in a short time, because that was the plan. The original plan was after Har Sinai, which was just 50 days later, they were supposed to basically be going into Eretz Yisrael in a short time. How do you do that? That's what I'm saying. You have to give that. That has to be something that requires this process of the empowerment of the mind. The question is, how is it part of Lokachti? It's a good question. I'm saying, because that is what makes us the people of God. That is exactly what makes us the Amma Nivchar. It's the trait of Avram Avinu that makes us the Amma Nivchar. That's what makes us worthy. That we ascribe to these ideas as truths, and we see them as truths, and we understand them, and they're good because they're true, right? Not that we say lahavdi, like others say, you know, the mind sees them as crazy, but we just take the leap of faith. That's not our zechus. Our zechus is in the merit of the derech of the avos. You understand? So that is, I'm saying it's not from a literal reading of Lokachti, but it's from the basic idea of what it means to be. God can't just take a nation of fools, just take a herd of donkeys and make them into his nation. Can't. It has to be a proper recognition of God that's zocha to be the representative of Chochma. Rakam Chochma v'Novan, a guy got Lazer. I mean, it has to be, the people will see. It's a right guy. That's your You're fighting the good fight on that. So, and that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that the people who interpret Midrashim literally, they think they're doing the greatest thing, but people look at the Chacham as fools. Look at us like fools. That's not what we're supposed to be. That's not what we're supposed to be known for. So that's really, I think, the that was the plan. But what happened? It failed. It failed. The plan failed.
So the end of that step was to empower them by giving them...
So we're saying the empowerment comes from giving them their a certain idea of self, of self and self-worth. And the ultimate idea of self and self-worth comes from knowing that you yourself are a perceiver of reality. That's really the ultimate... That's why since that time, since Har Sinai, that's how the Jews have survived all of the oppression. Because they always know that they have a better idea. They always know this really was an inoculation for Dori Doros against the future, a future problem of the slave mentality setting in. Because the slave mentality cannot set in when a person knows bedaito that he has a true idea, and the person who's controlling him is a fool. Right? You have no respect. A chacham has no respect for a fool, and he can't feel lower than him. Just can't, because he knows that what makes man man is his knowledge. That's what makes man superior to animal. And if he knows that this guy is a fool and believes in crazy ideas, even though he's controlling me, it doesn't make you lose your dignity. It doesn't make you lose your self worth. It doesn't make you lose your standing. And that's what Bnei Yisrael were sustained by. You look at the person like. It's like if an animal was controlling me. So if I was trapped by a lion, I wouldn't feel inferior to the lion. It's just a circumstance. Just a circumstance. Right? But the idea that the method of people who try to break another nation is to try to really make them feel inferior. That's the goal. That's what really is debilitating. But you can't. You can't do that to someone who knows in terms of the highest and most important thing, he has a superior element. He won't be able to break him that way. Yeah. All right. So we'll try to get to you next week. But basically, what happened? Basically, the problem of this group is they were not able to overcome their dependence on. They were not able to make that move. They were not able to break out of the framework of Adam. Basically, they were trapped in the framework of Adam. I'm not trapped. I shouldn't say trapped. They had the opportunity to remove themselves. But the framework that they were in was the framework of Adam. That's the slave. The slave has no sense of himself. He doesn't have a security in his mind. He doesn't think for himself. He doesn't trust his mind to think for himself, and he has a security. He looks for security in Adam, and they were not. They were given the opportunity, but they were not able. They were not able to break that need for the dependence on someone else. I mean, that's expressed, and that's what the. For instance, like the mon was trying to accomplish that. The mon was part of that. I think the Rashi says. What does the man show you? That Habishlu from a makom, and there are ways that God can sustain you. Right? They had to choose. It was a process of weaning them off of that dependency on man, away from towards a certain empowerment of the mind and the self.
And that was the 40 years.
They were supposed to do that. They were supposed to do that initially. But I mean, the eagle is obviously a case like that. Like they're looking for Moshe. They're looking for someone. Who's going to help us? They didn't think Eilel, Hecha Yisrael, they didn't think that this was the eagle that took them out of the shrine. That's obviously impossible. The eagle, they just made it. But it means to say they need someone else that's going to lead them like Moshe led them. And they're looking for another intermediary. So on that score, they failed. So the only way that it was able to happen, really, basically, Bekitzer was the only way it was able to happen. Apparently, was the next generation. They needed a new generation that was not raised in that environment. They needed a generation that was raised in with the system of Torah. The Jews that were raised in Mitzrayim in the framework of Adam and security in someone else and dependency on someone else, they had the ability, they were given the ability to abandon that and elevate themselves, but they failed. The 40 years in the Midbar was not 40 years. It was now the 40 years was a society of Torah, and the only chance was for the next generation to grow up outside of that framework in within the ideals of Torah. Then they were able to be independent. But it wasn't so simple. They still had a couple of rocky roads over there, a couple of things, and that's what I'd like to go into, and then get to the Nachash and Nachoshes. Okay, so we'll take that.
You don't need that. Ideally, you wouldn't need that. You should be. They have the ability of the planet.
That's like, something that's hard for us to put ourselves
like
in their framework.
Like this wasn't part of like a fifth step, so to speak.
Sounds
like they needed
it. No, it's very simple. Look, we always have it. It's a recurring theme in Torah. You have Adam Arishon before the Chet and after the Chet. You have a lot, exactly. You have plan A and plan B. It means to say that man is given the opportunity for the ideal, but it has to be a real opportunity, obviously. And if man doesn't take advantage of that, then God provides another avenue, which is a reduction, but it's another avenue. I mean, like we say, if Moshe would have taken Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, it would have been a whole different story. So he didn't. That doesn't mean we're not going to go in. All right, we'll go in on plan B. But it's not something that we can really understand. We can't really put ourselves back into the mindset of a slave and know what difficulties they experience. That's why we read these parshios with, everybody reads this parsha. Well, how could they possibly do that? How could they possibly do that?
Just left.
Right. They just left, exactly. But did you see where they left from? That's the problem.
Is that part of the key?